grace greater than our sin.
You go. I could hope that I could if somewhere life and love never ends. Oh, knowing what I know about heaven. Where every single voice makes a joyful noise, how sweet the sound when the saints rejoice. To every broken heart and every wounded soul, new life begins on streets of gold. With every tear that's raining here from my eyes, I know the sun is shining where somewhere life and love never ends. Oh, knowing what I know about heaven. I could hope that I could pray you back, but why on earth would I do that when you're somewhere
Take your Bibles this morning and turn to Matthew 26. You'll be where I am, okay? Wow. Knowing what I know about heaven, why would I want to bring you back from that, right? Wow. Good song. And good songs, Ralph. There is a fountain filled with blood. Wow. Matthew chapter 26, and we're going to start at verse 26. It's kind of a sad portion of Scripture because of one who betrayed the Lord. Let me ask you, would you betray the Lord? Those of you who know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, would you betray the Lord? Wow. No. He's done so much for me. There's no way. I love Him. Do you love Him too? Yeah. It's good to be in love with someone who you can really trust. Sometimes you love people here on earth and down the road they turn on you or they become untrustworthy. My Savior has never let me down. Never let me down. Well, chapter 26, let's see. We want to start at verse 14. Verse 14, I think I told you 26. Verse 14. Then one of the 12 called, what does it say? Yeah, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, what will ye give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? Excuse me. And he said, go into the city to such a man and say unto him, the master saith, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12, and as they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth, as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. You ever have a problem with that? A little phrase right there? It had been better for him if he had not been born. Wow. I am glad that it's not being said about me. And you know what else, too? I know we live in a day where abortion is freely sought after as a way out of bringing a child into this world, but I stand here today and I will say this. I thank God I was born. I'm glad I was born. I'm going to be with him someday. And the joy and the blessing that lies out ahead for me and for you who know the Lord as your Savior cannot be compared to anything. Imagine having the Lord say to you, it had been better for you if you had not been born. Verse 25, then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? Now, you notice back in 22, they said, the others said, Lord, is it I? And notice that Judas could only say, Master, is it I? And the word master is a term for a teacher, and the word is rabbi. Teacher, is it I? Whereas the other said, Lord, is it I? Verse 25, he said unto him, thou hast said. Judas conspires to betray Jesus. A question comes up, was Judas saved? I'm just going to say, give you the answer right now. No, it was not saved. But let's talk about Judas a little bit. Look at Luke chapter 22, verse 3. I want you to notice something that took place here right at this time that we're reading about. Once again, as you're turning there, Luke 22. I want you to go to Luke 22, and we're going to look at verse 3. Once again, we have four Gospels in our New Testament. All four are presenting Jesus in four different ways, and so we need all four of the Gospels. So sometimes you find some things in one gospel that's not in the other, and maybe a point in one that helps understand something in some other passage. But look here in Luke 22, verse 3. This is the same situation, if you see now the Feast of Unleavened Bread drew nigh, and it was called Passover. Verse 3, then entered, what does it say? Into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of 12. Then entered Satan into him. Now, in this same chapter, go down to verse 31, where Peter is being encouraged here by the Lord of a day to come when Peter would deny the Lord. Now, we know Judas betrayed the Lord. Peter denied the Lord. All right? There's a difference there. Betraying the Lord is worse. Denying the Lord is sometimes something we've all done, even since being saved. We've denied the Lord in front of other people instead of standing up for the Lord. But notice here in verse 31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. There's two people there, Judas and Peter. Satan entered into Judas. Peter was sifted by Satan, but not entered. There's a difference. And the Christian can be tempted by Satan. He can bring circumstances into our life and try to trip us up and ruin our testimony and things like that. But when you're a born-again, Bible-believing Christian, you are possessed by the Holy Spirit of God. Judas, not having faith yet, or never did, in the Lord Jesus Christ, was open to Satan entering into him and encouraging him to do things which are contrary to what he should do. Was Judas saved? No, because Satan entered into him. Satan can't enter into a saved person. Now, was Judas saved? Well, John tells us, if you just go over to the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 6, you find that Judas was a thief. He was a thief. John 12, verse 6. This he said, not that he cared for the poor. Remember last week we talked about the box of ointment being broken and the Mary anointed Jesus' head and his feet with it. And then some of the disciples said, oh, this was such a waste. Well, one of them was Judas. Verse 6, this he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bear what was put therein. That tells me that the disciples had a little treasury, I guess you could say, of money to take care of things. And Judas was put in charge of that. And the Bible says he stole from it for his own benefit. He stole from the treasury of the 12 disciples and the Lord Jesus Christ. That doesn't sound like someone who is saved. Was Judas saved? Some might say, well, doesn't it say that Judas actually helped in healing and things like that? Yes, he was empowered to heal, but not by his own power, but rather Christ's power. Go to Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. Matthew 10 and verse 1. This is always an interesting thing to realize, that Judas was considered one of the 12 disciples as Jesus instructed them to do some things. And here he is, an unsaved guy, a lost man. And yet, here it says, chapter 10, verse 1, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sicknesses and all manner of disease. Now, the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the publican, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. And on the passage goes. And later on, the disciples came back and reported to the Lord, it's really amazing what God has allowed us to do. And so Judas was part of that. He was empowered to heal, but not by his own power, but rather by Christ's power. So don't think that Judas must be saved because he was allowed to heal. By the way, the devil is allowed to do certain things too, and to do signs and wonders. And as time goes on and we get down to the end times, the Bible says that there's going to be a great deception. And there's going to be signs and wonders done, not by God or Christ or his disciples, but by the devil, as he empowers the Antichrist to do some very amazing things. So just because someone may heal, that doesn't put a stamp of approval upon them. You need to find out, what do they believe? Who do they believe in? That's what's important. Well, it was Judas saved. There's a place in Acts. Would you go to Acts chapter 1, which tells us that when Judas died, he did not go to heaven. So we know that Judas was lost. That's why I was very confident, and when I said in the very beginning, I'll just tell you right now, Judas is lost, okay? Because he did not go to heaven. Acts chapter 1, verse 25. They're talking about after the resurrection and the ascension of the Lord back into heaven as to who should take Judas's place among the 12 apostles. And so there's a little discussion here about Judas, verse 25, that he, and referring to Judas, may take part of this ministry and apostleship. Well, no, it's talking about the person who would take his place, from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. Folks, he did not go to heaven. He went somewhere else. I believe he's in hell. And he has his own place there in hell. And the description of hell is such that when you go there, you're by yourself. Don't be mistaken with the foolish thinking of some who, you know, question the Bible and the truth of the gospel and everything. Well, when I die and go to hell, I'm going to have all my friends there and we'll have a good time. No, the description of the Bible is that it's a dark place. And I don't believe that it's a place where you're going to have a party. I don't see anywhere in the Bible that it describes it like that. Every description in the Bible is that it's a place of torments. It's a place of agony and despair and no, listen to this, no hope. No hope. No hope. Judas went to a place like that and he went to his own place. He's still there. He's still there. Isn't that something to think about? He's still there. Now the thief on the cross who trusted the Lord as his Savior, that very day the Lord said to him, "Today thou shalt be with me," where? In paradise. That's where the thief is. Now, Judas was a thief, and that guy was a thief. Isn't that something? And yet one is in one place, one's in another place. You know what the difference is? Who believed in Jesus as his Savior and who did not? That's what the only difference is. Don't come around, if you're not saved and haven't trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior yet, don't come around saying, "Well, I'm trying to do the best I can. I'm not as bad as some." You know, everyone is as bad as can be. We're all sinners, lost, and in need of a Savior. All of us. The dying thief and Judas the thief both went to two different places. And the difference is, what did they do with Jesus? And where you go will be determined upon what you do with Jesus Christ. There is no other message of salvation available except through Christ. That's it. All the religions of the world, other than Christianity, and by Christianity I mean real Bible Christianity, teach that you have to do something to make yourself worthy to go to heaven. Biblical Christianity says you can do nothing to make yourself worthy. In fact, all you are really worthy of is to be separated from God for all eternity and be put in your own place, a place called hell. But oh, Jesus came and died for you and loved you so much that he gave himself for your sin, paid the price for your sin, and went into the grave. I like that one song we sang as well. When the grave could conceal him no longer. You know, that's the thrust of Christianity. That's what makes Christianity different from all the religions of the world, including atheism, which they don't believe in anything. And humanism, which believes that man will progress on his own. The only religion that allows for eternal life is Christ. I don't even know if I want to use the word religion. It's a faith. It's a relationship with one who conquered the grave. Do you have salvation through that one who rose up from the grave? If not, you don't have salvation. You're not ready to die. You need to trust Christ as your Savior. He has a place in hell. That's why I believe he was lost. And another thing, Old Testament scripture prophesied him as a wicked man who would betray the Lord. Yes, 1,000 years before Jesus was even born and walked on this earth and called out 12 men, one being Judas Iscariot, to be his disciples and walk with him and talk with him and even do some of the miracles that he did through his power through them. 1,000 years before, it was predicted that a man like Judas would come on the scene. Would you go with me to Psalm 109? Psalm 109. 1,000 years, give or take, before Jesus Christ even came. Look at this prophecy here. You can't help but see it. Not only that, the disciples quote from it when they go about to have someone take Judas's place after he hung himself and committed suicide. They had to get someone to take his place. They quote from this passage, Psalm 109, verse 8. Let his days be few, and let another take his office. Let his children be fatherless, and his wife a widow. Let his children be continually vagabonds and beg. Let them seek their bread also out of their desolate places. Let the extortioner catch all that he hath, and let the stranger spoil his labor. Let there be none to extend mercy unto him, neither let there be any to favor his fatherless children. Let his posterity be cut off, and in the generation following let their name be blotted out. Let the iniquity of his fathers be remembered with the Lord, and let not the sin of his mother be blotted out. Let them be before the Lord continually, that he may cut off the memory of them from the earth. Because that he remembered not to show mercy, but persecuted the poor and needy man. By the way, was Jesus rich while he was here? Now, my Bible says he became poor, that we might become rich. And he was a needy man. In the garden, he needed the disciples to stay awake with him as he prayed, and they didn't. He needed strength to go through the coming suffering of the cross, and the Lord provided angels to minister unto him and to help him, a poor and needy man. Judas didn't take care of the poor and needy man. And it continues on through the passage. But I want you to know that passage is used by the disciples, as we just read, to let someone else take his office. Like it says up there in verse 8, let his days be few, and let another take his office. They use that verse in the Old Testament scriptures that they had to tell them, we need to get someone else to take Judas's place. They took lots and they appointed Matthias to be his take his place. Judas is lost. He's not saved. And the last words of the Lord Jesus Christ, going back now again to Matthew chapter 26, Matthew 26 and verse 21. And as they did, he said, verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? You know, I want you to keep in mind that we know all about Judas, and we can say, oh, you're a Judas, and a lot of times people will use that term to describe someone who's really a betrayer against the cause or whatever. Do you know that all the disciples questioned themselves at that time? Is it I that's going to betray you? Is it I? Wow. We often just think that Judas, you know, he was just all by himself here. Even the rest of the disciples said, ooh, Lord, is it I? Then the Lord told them who it was. And that's when he said the words about, it had been good for that man if he had not been born. And I mentioned to you how Judas could not call him Lord, only Master. And here's something to think about. Here we are, Ray Street Baptist Church. One of our doctrinal positions here at Ray Street Baptist Church is this. Once you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can never be, what do we say? Lost. In other words, salvation, once it's received through faith in Christ, is forever. It's forever. So if Judas was saved, then he must have lost his salvation, and that's a doctrine contrary to the Word of God. So we would have someone here who lost his salvation. Judas, if he was saved, then he must have lost his salvation. Go to John chapter 17. John 17, where we have the high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ while here on earth, talking to his Father up in heaven. And while you're turning there, that's an interesting thought. That tells me that God the Father is very much in place while God the Son was down here on earth. While God the Holy Spirit was working in people's hearts as well. The three persons of the Godhead exist at the same time. The same time. There's not three gods, or that he shows himself in three different ways for a while as the Father, then the Son, and then now he's the Spirit. No, there are three persons of the Godhead. Here we have two persons of the Godhead talking to each other. While Jesus is here on earth, he's talking to his Father up in heaven. And one of the things he does say is interesting here in reference to Judas. Verse 12, John 17, verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that scripture might be fulfilled. Now, we just read the scripture that is being fulfilled. Now the Lord here says, I have lost none that you have given me. And the word there is not a word of accepting and saying, I've lost none except I lost one. No, no. It's I've lost none, however, the son of perdition. Not that he was saved and now he's lost, but just pointing out the son of perdition. Judas, if he was saved, then he lost his salvation. You're at John. Go back to the chapter 6 of John. And a very interesting statement telling me that Judas was not a saved man or a believing man, and then he became a lost man. Here is the Lord's description of him long before he even betrayed the Lord. In John chapter 6, verse 70, Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12? And one of you is a what? Devil. Devil. Ooh. How about that? Judas fell from his office, not falling from grace. He fell from his office, not from grace. He never was in grace. Sad to say, there are a lot of Judases in the church today. They are close to salvation, but refuse to enter by faith alone. You know, the whole thing about Judas being one of the 12 disciples and walking with Jesus for the 3 years that he ministered here on this earth is a very difficult concept to grab a hold of and understand. How could this man not believe the Lord? I would ask you the very same thing. How was it that you, knowing what you know about the Lord Jesus Christ, having heard gospel message after gospel message, having been presented with the gospel of salvation through faith alone in Jesus Christ, and that you're justified by faith, not by works. I mean, this has been told you over and over and over again. You've watched and seen people have their lives changed as they trust Jesus Christ. And you can tell that something new has happened in their life. They've changed sometimes overnight. From being wicked and ungodly to the next day wanting to serve the Lord Jesus Christ with all their heart, soul, and strength. And you saw the difference. How come you haven't trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Don't point a finger at Judas. How about yourself? Judas was that close to the Lord Jesus Christ for 3 years. Listened to his words of grace and mercy and truth, saw him heal the sick and the lame, and raise the dead from the grave. And even talk about how he would do it himself, how he would lay his life down and he'd take it back up again. And be so close and yet lost. Might you be like that? If you're listening to me on the internet, might you be sitting there listening to this? Are you a Judas? I'm not saying, are you a Christian who's lost his salvation? I just told you that can't be. But is it true that you could be this close to the truth and yet you still have not received it for yourself to be saved? Judas sells the Lord for an interesting 30 pieces of silver. Go to Exodus chapter 21, verse 32. While you're getting there, Exodus chapter 21. Did I say 32? I want you to go to Exodus 21. While you're going there, you know, if you reject the Lord Jesus Christ in exchange for whatever else it is, I'm going to tell you, whatever else it is that you have exchanged him for is not worth much. For I'm going to tell you something. My Savior is worth a lot more than 30 pieces of silver. But it's significant what 30 pieces of silver would buy in the Bible. Exodus chapter 21 and verse 32. If the ox shall push a manservant or a maidservant, he shall give unto their master. You know, if your ox was wont to push people around and hurt people, if you read this whole, you go home this afternoon and read the whole context here. It's part of the law of Moses. But interestingly here, if an ox shall push a manservant or a maidservant, that's a slave, folks. If you have a slave, ox pushes it. The person who owns the ox shall give unto their master 30 shekels of silver. And the ox shall be stoned. But the price of a slave was considered 30 pieces of silver. I don't think it's by chance that that's how much Judas bartered with the Pharisees and the Sadducees who hated the Lord and were looking for an opportunity to get rid of him. and thought, if we can deal with one of his disciples to show us where he is, well, that would be good. How much do you want? 30 pieces of silver. Oh, that's not a coincidence. That's just a coincidence. No, it's not a coincidence. I think God the Father is behind this whole thing so that we might know even later on and to this very day that our Savior did come from heaven where the streets of gold are paved and left it all and came down to this earth and didn't just come as a man. He could have came as a king if he wanted to. He could have come with a whole bunch of army behind him and everything, or a band playing, here's the Lord of the whole earth. He didn't. He allowed himself to come into this world through a virgin who was not well known, be born in this little town of Bethlehem, another unknown town except known by God, from Micah in the Old Testament, and then be laid in a manger, a thing out of which animals eat. They cleaned it up and put Jesus in there. And then Jesus proceeded through life, and when he was about 30 years of age, he presented himself as the Messiah to Israel, and he served them. He served them like a slave. And like a slave, he endured the death of a cross. And he was sold for the price of a slave. 30 pieces of silver. You know what? My Savior's got to be the greatest person of all. He is the best there is. And Judas, was he saved? No. Sad to say, he was unrepentant to the end. Look at Matthew 26. Then verse 23, then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto them, Thou hast said. Judas was unrepentant to the end. Go to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. John chapter 13 and verse 18. John Judas unrepentant to the very end. John chapter 13, verse 18. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture might be fulfilled. He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth him that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. I want to go down through. I want to go down just to save some time here. Down to verse 25. He then lying on Jesus' breast saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Who is it going to be that's going to betray you? Jesus answered, He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, That thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, Buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. He had everybody fooled. Except the Lord. You might think you have everybody fooled. You know, a lot of people live their whole life just trying to fool the next person to them into thinking they are what they aren't. Don't do this with this matter of your own personal salvation. Don't go about trying to just deceive the people around you. You know what? You need to make sure you know the Lord as your personal Savior so that you're right with God. Doesn't matter if you've got people fooled. Well, I go to church, you know, I try to act like a Christian and everything. I think most people think I'm okay. That's not good enough. You better know you're saved through faith in Jesus Christ because you've prayed unto God and asked Him to save your soul. Not that you've deceived others into thinking that you are what you aren't. You know, you would think that Judas would be amazed that Jesus knew him for what he was. And why was there a Judas among the 12? Why? I believe, number one, to be a warning. To be a warning. That you could be that close to the Lord and still end up in hell, lost. And also, I believe to be a testimony to the righteousness of Christ. Go with me now back to Matthew 26, and I'm going to wrap this up here. All right. Those of you who are wondering if the roast is going to burn, I'll try to wrap this up here. Matthew 27, verse 3. Then Judas, which had betrayed him when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself. Now you might say, I thought you just said he didn't repent. Well, this repented of himself here is not a repentant unto salvation. It was just, he was sorry. He was sorry for what happened. But I want you to see what he's sorry about here. He repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the, what does it say? Innocent blood. Here we have someone who betrayed the Lord actually declaring the righteousness of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? Wow. Why did God allow one of the disciples of his son Jesus Christ to be a betrayer? A traitor. Why? Well, to be a warning that you can be that close and still be lost. Oh, and also, to be a testimony to the righteousness of Christ. And I'm going to say this, and you see me, I'm closing my notes. Okay. I'm going to say this. Judas, though in hell, declared before he died, and you can read the rest of those verses, he went out and hanged himself. He never repented. But before he died, he declared the righteousness of my Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, what I'm about to say, I don't like having to say it. But if you die without trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and I can show you scripture on this, you, before you are going to be cast into the lake of fire, you will be giving witness and testimony to the righteousness of my Savior who died for you and already paid the price so that you could go to heaven forever. If you end up there, it's because you've rejected the only one who could pay for your sin. But one more thing, you will give witness. And if you do need a witness, let me give you the witness of the rich man in hell. He acknowledged he belonged there. And you know what he wanted? He wanted Abraham, who he could see afar off, to send Lazarus, the one who was laid at his gate with sores and everything. Would you send Lazarus back from the dead to talk to my brothers? Lest they come to this place. You know what? If you could lift the manhole cover of hell, and just for a moment, lift that. You know what I mean by a manhole cover? You run over them with your car on the roads, and you know, and usually they're not level. If you could lift the manhole cover of hell, you know what you would hear? Don't come here! That's what you'd hear. And the answer would be, trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Because He died to keep you from going there. If you go there, you've decided to do it on your own. Judas declared the righteousness. I have betrayed innocent blood. You will do the same thing if you die without Christ. You say, no, I don't believe in this, believing in Jesus thing. I'm telling you something. The Bible says He's the only one who can save your lost soul. He paid for it in full. Why not trust Him? Why be a Judas and go to your own place? Why? After being so close to the truth. Well, this preacher says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's my job to do to you who might be listening to me who are not saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou, you sinner, you will be saved. You'll be saved. Let Him save your soul. Are you here today and not saved? We'd like to help you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. And as we sing the invitational hymn number 550, if you want to get to that, number 550. But if you're here today and say, boy, you know what? I need to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. Why don't you step out from where you're at? Meet me down at the front. I'll be standing right down front here. And we'll have someone privately help you trust Christ as Savior. We don't mean to embarrass you, but hey, we need to know whether you want to do it or not. Are you saved? If you're not saved, come as we sing this song. Jesus is calling softly and tenderly, 550. He's calling you and He wants to save you. Why don't you let Him do it? If you're on the internet listening to me as you hear us sing this song, why don't you bow your head right where you're at? Acknowledge you're a sinner and trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior the best way you know how. You say, well, I don't know how to pray. God hears. He knows. The best way you know how. Tell God you're a sinner and you want Jesus Christ to save you from your sin. And He'll do it. And you'll have everlasting life. Let's stand as we sing. Number 550, you come if you need help.
Who are weary, come.
music was good. The songs were good. Good fellowship. Sunday school was good. Boy, we hit some doctrine there. Had a good time. We'll be back here at 6:30 tonight. And we're going to look at the Catholic doctrine of purgatory. Is that a biblical doctrine or not? So you come on out. Don't forget to read that portion in my dad's book. That's your homework assignment for tonight. Read up on that purgatory thing, and we'll be talking about that tonight. All right, hey, Brother Jim Bush, would you close us in a word of prayer, and then we'll go home, okay?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the service we have, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your presence, Lord. Yes. Let us simply go out of here, Lord, and let us tell each and every one that is lost out here about Jesus Christ and his saving grace, Lord. And Lord, just let us be a good witness for you as we go out there, Lord. Keep us safe as we do it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.